Morning. Today we're going to be reading in John chapter 15. We're going to be reading verses 1 to 8. So if you would, please turn there in your Bible. I did not tell you what page it was, but I will give you a hint. It's between Genesis and Revelation. Now if you go to the, it's 1046. This is John, one of our Gospels. And when you have found your place, please say amen. All right. Let us begin. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It says Jesus is the true vine. So I want to give you a little background. This is in the upper room after Jesus was with all his disciples, where he broke bread and passed the cup, which we will do later today. He washed his disciples' feet, even Judas, the one that would betray him. He then left, Judas that is, to betray Christ. Jesus took an opportunity to then share this message to his remaining disciples. He said, I am the true vine. And they would have known full well what that meant at the time. Because the vine meant Israel. You read in the Old Testament, in many passages, one for example will be Isaiah 5, where they talk about God picking a piece of land that had fertile soil. God takes and clears that away, takes the stones out and irrigates it. Plants is the seed, this is Israel, that grows up into this vine, which stood for Israel. God did everything for this vine and then went away to come back to receive good fruit. That's what he was expecting and hoping for. But when he came back, he found bad fruit. See, the vine represented Israel, but without God, it can't bear good fruit. So now Jesus is telling them, I am the true vine. See, in all things with Christ, you can bear good fruit and you do anything. In this passage we see, he says, you must remain in me. And I see this passage and I look and I say, you know, today I want to share 4 points that I see from this that would show that we are true disciples of Christ. So I entitled this sermon, Proving True Discipleship. I'd like to share those 4 points as we can see, knowing that Christ is the true vine. We have to ask, how can we prove our true discipleship? The question is asking, are we proving to be his true disciples? Well, first, we must remain in Christ. It says abide in Christ. I chose the word right now for remain. We all know and understand what remain means. I can remain standing here. I can remain sitting here. But it says abide. And the word abide as a verb means to dwell. Now, I want you to understand what dwelling means. This, you get to live with the Holy God. You get to dwell with him. And that's what he wants. He says, come, dwell with me. Abide in me. Right? If you dwell with me, I will then dwell with you. So that's what he's saying when he says, abide in Christ. Or excuse me, abide in me. We have a sort of partnership with Christ in this, if you want to say. A unity, a togetherness. Now, we are the weaker part in this. And yet, he's inviting us, right? In the world's today society, we want the greater to come to us. Or at least, hey, can we come to you? No, the greater is Christ saying, come to me and abide in me, and I will abide in you. It says in verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. For no branch can bear fruit by itself. So he's also saying, without me, you can't do anything. So come to me, and I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to sustain you. All right? That leads me into my next point. Remain in Christ, and he will remain in you so you can bear fruit. Because without Christ, we can do nothing. And Christ wants us to bear fruit for him. It's to glorify God. Bearing fruit is our job, our work to do, but not on our own strength, as Israel couldn't do on their own strength. They bore wild fruit, bad fruit, or no fruit at all, unacceptable and unpleasing to God. God wants good fruit from us. It says, well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that if you will be even more fruitful. God wants more fruit. He wants you to be blessed. He wants to do these things for you, but he can't do it for you if you don't remain in him. If you remain in him, he remains in you. He then empowers you to bear fruit. Now, what does he say about fruit? He says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will be fruitful. Then you will bear even more fruit. And even bear much fruit. But I would be remiss if I did not talk about those who bear no fruit. He says, those will be cut. He will prune the vine and cut those that do not bear fruit. Because those who do not bear fruit are taking up energy and wasting it for those who do bear fruit. That branch is cut off. It falls to the ground. It withers. It dies. And then it's thrown into the fire. See, a withered, dead branch is good for nothing but fuel for the fire. So, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to be a fruitful branch for God, allowing him to prune you so that you may bear more fruit. Let him to prune you again so you will bear much fruit. He says that with me you can do all things. But when you bear fruit, you need to be pruned. Now, pruning doesn't seem to be pleasant. Pruning comes at different times in your life. But you have to understand, God the Father reaches down and prunes you. He trims you. He shapes you. He molds you into the person he wants you to be. He nourishes you. He waters you. He tends for you. He is the gardener. He cares for you. He puts good fertilization around you so that you grow, so that you may be fruitful for him. And you understand when you're fruitful for him, which glorifies him, it's a blessing to you as well. I love to serve this God who wants praise and adoration to him, but at the same time, it gives joy and is a benefit to me. That, to me, puts me in awe. Now, pruning comes, as I said, different times in life. Sometimes illness, you may be sick or hurt, going through a troubled time, maybe death in your family or a loved one. But who among us goes to a beach on a sunny day and lays out there with their friends and says, "Oh, God, I need you. Come, I want more of you." No, you may see God's beauty and you may thank him. But when you're hurt and struggling, you get down on your knees and you cry out to God. And what does he do? He draws near to you, because if you were in him and remain in you, he draws near to you. You feel his presence. He lifts you up and he strengthens you. That's part of pruning and growing. It says in Hebrews 12:6, the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. So understanding pruning can also be an act of discipline. You weren't obedient, and he needs to discipline you. But he only does that for the ones that he loves. So if you're doing something that you know is wrong, and you see no consequence, there's nothing on it, you need to check yourself. Because he only disciplines those he loves, so that you can get correct with him and bear more fruit. Brothers and sisters, if you say, "I am a Christian," and you're bearing no fruit, you're fooling yourselves. There is a parable in Matthew 13. It talks about a farmer who sows seed. He plants seeds on the rocky ground, on rocks, in between the thorn bushes, and he plants seed on fertile ground. Well, I'm going to talk. You read the parable in Matthew 13, there's a few of them. But I'm only going to focus on the seed that lands on the fertile ground. Talking about us who remain in Christ. He builds up and he will prune so that the crop that is produced will produce 30 times, 60 times, 100 times that he sowed. Understand, you're throwing 10 seeds down, and you're multiplying that by, now you're getting 30 or 60 or 100 times that. Only God can do that. And he can do that through you. So again, we must remain in him. And we must bear fruit. And we must remain in his word. And his word will remain in us. It says in verse 7, "If you remain in me and my word remains in you," I want to pause there and say, brothers and sisters, if you call yourselves a Christian, if you think you're a believer in Christ, and you do not read his word, you're fooling yourself. And let me define this even greater. Being in God's word, I'm talking about complete immersion in God's word. If you think, "I am a good Christian, I sat there where you sat, and I thought I was a good Christian. I had my own Bible." Actually, it had my name on it. I think my parents gave it to me in little gold letters. "I was proud of this. I called myself a Christian. I came to church, and the pastor said, 'Hey, we are going to be reading in John chapter 15 today. Please turn.'" And I was like, "Yes, my own Bible." And it would creak to open, right? And I'd be like, "Oh, I like that sound." That's a bad sound. That means you're opening it for the first time. Okay? So my point is, I read it only on Sundays. But I wasn't really reading. I was following along. You guys did not really truly read with me. You followed along. That's not reading, and that's not truly to be in God's Word. What I'm talking about, full, complete immersion in God's Word, is to be in His Word every day, day and night. God told Joshua to read the Scriptures day and night, not to stray from the left or right of it. So if you were not reading God's Word daily, I would question if you were a true disciple of Christ. Now hear me. You forget a day to read, or I did not read it this week. Listen, God's going to put in your heart, there are things that come in life. But I'm talking about full immersion where you want to be in His Word. That if that day that you were not in His Word, you felt something missing in your life. That is what I'm talking about, true immersion. You jump in a pool, right? You're fully immersed. What? You're wet. You get out of the pool, you feel it dripping, right? But a few minutes later, you're dried off. You don't feel the water anymore. Well, think of God's Word. If you're not feeling His Word, if you're not seeing it, if it's not in you, then you're not immersed in God's Word. And that's what He's talking about by remaining in His Word, that it would remain in you. That's the key point. Don't fool yourself by opening His Word from here to here. I'm reading Our Daily Bread and stuff, which I'm not knocking. Those are good things, reading those verses. I'm saying, if that's all you do to think that's going to make you a good Christian, that you're a good Christian because you picked up the daily Bible reading and you read the verse of the day and said, wow, I'm reading God's Word. No, I'm here to tell you, you're sadly mistaken. The daily Bible verse is for encouragement. It's to point to God's Word. I say true immersion in God's Word is where you need to be, because that's the only way God's Word will remain in you. Because on those dark days, those lonely nights, you seek out to God, those verses will come up into your memory and will comfort you through troubled times. You're out in town and someone is sick or hurt or sad, and you go to them, and for some reason, this verse is coming to you and you get to share it with them. Because, brothers and sisters, we are called to share God's Word with people. So if it's not in you, it's not going to come up. And if it's not in you, are you really in His Word? If you're not in His Word, are you really bearing fruit? If you're not bearing fruit, are you really remaining in Him? Is He in you at all? In chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Hear me, listen to that. He's saying, if you obey me, the only way you can obey Him is if you know what His words are, and don't just come Sunday to listen to what I say. I could actually be mistaken. Maybe purposely. Lord forbid. You have to read His Word to know what He wants you to do. And it says if you do that, and it's in you, He and the Father will come to you and dwell with you. The God of the universe wants to come to you and live in you. When you were in His Word and you were living in His Word, you're bearing fruit and you're proving these true marks of discipleship. My fourth point is prayer. Are you a praying person? It says we should be in prayer all day long. And do we wake up in the morning, go through our daily routine, look outside and that's a beautiful day. Oh, Lord, thank you. Or do we wake up and go, thank you for another day. Thank you. Now, don't get me wrong. You might wake up with a pain. You went to bed sad or something. But hear me. You woke up. That is something to be thankful for. That means God is not finished with you. Maybe He wants something else in you. Or maybe He wants to use you to reach somebody else. Whether you are crippled, whether you're in pain, whether you're suffering, no matter what it is, he can use you. You wake up and you say, thank you, God. See, the purpose is, what are you doing? Are you in prayer all day long? Do you pray at lunch? Do you pray for your meals? Do you pray before you go to bed? Oh, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to pray in between those times too. See, we have a relationship with Christ where we're driving down the street and we can talk to him. It says in 1 Peter 5:7, bring all your worries to me because I care for you. Brothers and sisters, God cares for each one of us. All he wants to do is talk to you. And we do that in prayer. But here's the best part. In this passage, if you pray, and if you are remaining in his word, if you're bearing fruit, and you're abiding in him, he says, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, let me tell you, if you said, I'm coming here on Sundays, I'm a faithful Christian, I come on Sundays, I listen to the pastor, I do read the Bible every once in a while, or I just flip through it, and I'm going to go home because now the Pastor Black said, ooh, I can ask whatever I want because it says what you desire. Heavenly Father, I need a S3 class Mercedes Benz. Well, I'm here to tell you that's probably not going to happen. Why? Because you really have to read what's here and put it in alignment with the full scripture. You need to be aligned with Christ and his will. See, when you're aligned with Christ's will, and you don't do that unless you're in his word and his word is in you. And when it does, it says what? Your heart of stone becomes what? A heart of flesh. It starts beating for the first time in the spirit realm, right? And you become aligned with God. Your desires change. Then what you want is what God wants. And why would God not want to give you what he already wants you to have? So when you ask, expect he will give it to you. Now that looks differently sometimes. You also have to understand, by placing it in God's hands, it's also his timing. Sometimes you get things right away. Sometimes it takes time. And sometimes his answer is no to you. Because he knows what? Your yesterdays, your todays, but he knows your tomorrows and you don't. He wants the best for you. So sometimes you ask for something that you think is what you desire and what you need. But if you're truly praying to him and say, Lord, this is in your hands, your will be done, and he says no, praise God. He's got something better for you. And I can give you countless explanations, but we don't have time for that. But we do know that it's happened in this place that a believer will get on his knees and say, Lord, I have a job. My car is broken. What do I do? Help me. Open-ended. Maybe you get a phone call that says, hey, I have an old beat-up Toyota. The engine's good. We all know Toyotas live forever, right? So you get a Toyota, and it doesn't look so good, but it gets you to place to A and B. Amen and praise God. He provided for you. It doesn't have to be a shiny new car. It could be a beat-up old rusty car that actually works. Or you see that for sale sign. Wow, you know, I can afford that in my budget. I didn't think I could. See, God answers prayers differently, but he does answer prayers. It is a promise from God you can count on. It says in Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So when you're praying and asking, you will receive if his word is in you, because you are immersed totally in his word, because you are bearing fruit because he is in you, because you are abiding in him. So in conclusion, these 4 points, let me simplify them. To prove true discipleship in Christ, one, you must abide in Christ. That's to dwell with him so that he will dwell with you. Two, you must bear fruit. You can only do that if you are abiding in Christ and he is in you. Three, total word immersion. dive in his word and be in it, brothers and sisters, day and night, every day, as often as possible. And four, answered prayer. Why? Because when you pray and you're doing those other three things and you're proving discipleship, you should expect that he will answer his prayers. Why? Because he's a truthful and trustworthy God who loves us, who cares for us. Worship team, if you would. So if we call ourselves Christians, remember what it says in Matthew 7. They will know you by the fruits you bear. We cannot bear good fruit if he is not in us. So thanks be to God that his hold on us is stronger than our hold on him. See, what I forgot to mention was in that upper room, Jesus also told his disciples, roughly in 6 hours from now, you are going to all abandon me. Peter, we love him. No, Lord, not even of these people. He throws them all under the bus. Not even of them. I would die for you. And he says, Peter. Before the rooster crows, you were going to deny me 3 times. Matter of fact, we know that Peter cursed in denial of Christ the shame he must have felt when Christ turned his head and looked at Peter in his eyes. He ran away. Like often most of us do, if we hurt somebody and we do something bad to somebody and we see them coming down the street, we're going to duck in a store, we're going to go the other way. We try to avoid them. Let me tell you the rest of the story. Christ was crucified on the cross. Their disciples felt betrayal, for their master and Lord died, and they left him in the hour of need. But that next day, 3 days later, when they heard the tomb was open, what did they do? They ran straight to him. They didn't avoid him. And God met them. And I'll give you one instance. In John chapter, what chapter is it? 21. Jesus is on the shore waiting for his disciples. They see him a long distance away. And what do? They turn the boat towards him. Peter can't even wait. Takes off his outer garment, jumps in, and swims as fast as he can to his Lord, his Savior, his God, our God. See, that's what God does. When we abide in him, he is faithful and just. And his hold on us is stronger than our hold on him. So when we hold on tight, as often as we do, too many times, we look away. Our grip gets weak. We slip. But if we are abiding in Christ, his hold on us is so strong, he pulls us back. He will not let go. And that's what he says. So brothers and sisters, if you know my God and know my Christ as your Lord and Savior, praise God. Be in him. Be fruitful. Be in his word. And be on your knees. But if you do not know my God, I urge you to come see me, one of the elders of this church, and ask, who is this Christ? Who is this God that you were talking about? And we will share him with you. Why? You need to know him. I do not want you thrown into the fire. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to continue in Christ, in prayer, in worship, in fellowship, in corporate fellowship, coming on Sundays, Bible studies, prayer meetings, going to coffee with a brother and sister and praising God. Because that's what he tells us to do. And to read his word. And as you always hear me say, to keep reading his word. And keep reading his word. So that his word remains in you. Because that will change your life forever. So let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without waver, for he promised is faithful. Just as Jesus said in, just as it said in Hebrews 10:23. God bless.